Everybody, my name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is brought to you by Every Dot Black Entrepreneurs Network. And we're here with Ms. Lene Van Hook Walker, and she was with us the last time talking about her business as well as her ministry in terms of how her spirituality has helped her in her business. And so she's back with us today, and hopefully she'll tell us more about her personal experience, her trials and tribulations, and so we're really looking forward to that. So, Lene, thank you for being with us again.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again. Thank you so much.
Great, great. Well, as I said, last week we talked quite a bit about your business, and you have a number of businesses, and by the way, Lene is out of the Garner, North Carolina area, Garner, which is a small but growing community outside of Raleigh. And so it is the Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina area. And let me ask you this. Is your clientele within the whole Raleigh-Durham area as far as your business is concerned, or is it just basically the Garner area south of Raleigh?
Right. So as far as my businesses, they're actually are countrywide, okay? So, and I say that because I service people in different areas. I'm also online, you know, as far as the business, they can contact me online, they can order jewelry online. And I also travel throughout different states, from Virginia, Maryland, Georgia, to do hair clients that has followed me since my career. And as far as Daniel's Voice LLC, that is going to be a nationwide advocacy.
Okay.
Yes.
That's great. Well, I know last week we talked about your businesses, and you have several, and you're very successful. And we touched upon the fact that your spirituality in terms of believing that God has helped you in your business was key, and is key to your success. And we want to continue with that line of thought, but as it connects with your personal experience in terms of certain challenges that you've had, especially over the last, year or so, tell us about that, those trials and tribulations that you've had.
Okay, so over the last year, I've lost my son, Daniel. He was 26. He was murdered by his female domestic partner. And that is how Daniel's Voice came about. And of course, it's because of God that I am even sitting on this chair next to Mr. Porter, being able to even discuss what has happened, the traumatic event that has happened in my life within the last year, have not quite even been a year yet. So I definitely have to give God his props for even keeping me and sustaining me to be able to even speak about it.
You know, there's one scripture that I'm very familiar with, and it's one of my favorite scriptures, as a matter of fact, and that is Romans 8:28, which says that all things work together for the good, for those who love God, to those who are called, the called for his purpose. And it's scriptures like those that keeps me going. And does a scripture like that help you, even though you've been through a very traumatic situation? Does that help? And I'm sure it does. I imagine it does. You to continue doing what you're doing?
Of course. And again, I'm not sure if your audience heard the prior interview, but I had mentioned Philippians and 4:13, which says, "Your strength, all my strength comes through Christ." And That is definitely where I'm getting my strength, and I can do all things through Christ. So just really applying that scripture to my businesses keeps me at least somewhat motivated to keep going.
We're talking about basically domestic violence as it relates to your son and his situation. And of course, we bring our condolences as far as that particular situation is concerned.
Thank you.
And sometimes that's all we can do. We can pray, of course, and we can be sympathetic to what others are going through and hope that they understand that we're with them. But what is your feelings about domestic violence and the fact that sometimes it's not just the female that's being affected in a negative way, but sometimes it's the male victim that is affected, in your case especially. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I do agree with that. And domestic violence, for one, is wrong, no matter who is on the side of being the abuse or the abusee. It's wrong regardless. But Dave's voice has arisen because of my son being the victim. And as being his mother and not being aware that he was experiencing these things, it's even more reason why I am following what God has called me to do, is to speak up and speak out about domestic violence against men. Since I've started this endeavor in November of last year, I've come across so many men that have said, yes, this is a needed topic, that we need a conversation that has to be dealt with, needs to be talked about, because so many men hold things in, their experiences of what they're going through, for whatever reasons, you know. So it's definitely a needed topic, and it's something that I'm committed to. And like I said before, domestic violence is wrong either way.
Well, that's certainly true, and especially in our society, it seems as the focus is on the female being the victim, but of course it can work the other way around as well. Of course, you're dealing with this situation now, as a matter of fact, and you can get into it to any level that you'd like to get into it as far as what you're trying to do to deal with the legal aspect of it. And I understand that this situation happened not in North Carolina. Is that correct?
Correct.
But it was in Arizona?
Yes, in Arizona, yes.
Okay. What part of Arizona, may I ask?
In Tucson.
Tucson, Arizona?
Yes.
Okay.
Sarita, Arizona.
Okay. So you're working now, I guess, long distance in trying to deal with the situation. How much information can you give us as far as what you are doing to deal with your situation as far as your son's is concerned?
Yeah, so right now, of course, it's the legal aspect of me having to deal with taking care of everything legally. Unfortunately, right now, I'm unable to really give details of the case because it's an open case. But as far as what I'm dealing with, I'm having to travel back and forth across country to go to pre-trials, go to other trial hearings, and speak to lawyers. Also, here at home, I have three other children that I also have to make sure that it's well. As well, you know, making sure that they're coping with the loss of their brother. And not only that, taking care of that, I also have to take care of myself on top of all of that. So it's definitely a lot. And again, I want to thank you for allowing me to speak about this on your outlet, so that when time comes where I can freely and openly speak about everything, maybe you'll invite me back again and we can talk about that more, his case in particular, more in depth, because that is what the purpose of Daniel's voice is going to be all about, is to tell his story.
All right. Okay. Well, great. Well, we're going to come back with Lene, and we'll get into the fact that she had to do a lot of public speaking, and she continues to do a lot of public speaking, and we'll ask her how did that come about as far as getting more familiar with that particular aspect. And so we'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned. Welcome back. We're here with Ms. Lene Van Hook Walker, and we're talking to her about her business as well as her personal experiences, the thing that she has gone through, and is very compelling. And so I'd like for her to continue talking to us about that, especially as it pertains to the fact that you have to do quite a bit of public speaking, apparently, in dealing with the situation that you're dealing with now. Is that correct?
Yes, I sure do. Being an entrepreneur and being in the service industry actually requires you to have to talk to a lot of people all the time. So I will speak on my jewelry business, which is called Hooked on Jewels. And I'm an independent paparazzi consultant business owner. And in that business, you have to speak to people because you're selling, right? You're selling jewelry to them. And not only are you selling jewelry, you're selling something that can really change someone's life, because the business is more than just jewelry. We have become not only business owners and partners, but we've also become friends and almost like family as well. So the speaking part of it is that we had COVID, but I don't know, everybody remember COVID. So I started in 2019. The first year that I started my business, I didn't work my business like I was supposed to have as a business owner. And I say that because I was also a hairstylist, where I had a thriving business at that time. And so the Hooked on Jewels was, oh, this is just a little bit extra money for me. So I wasn't really working my business the way that I was until COVID hit. So when COVID hit, as you all know, we were all stuck in the house, and my upline, we did a challenge, a team challenge among us business owners, and it was to go live. This is when live videos actually really took off, and she challenged us to go 30 days live. Now, I'm used to talking to people one-on-one, because I'm a, you know, licensed stylist for many years, so I have you in my chair one-on-one for, you know, a few hours. But this was totally different. They wanted me to get in front of some people, millions of people, and talk. Scared to death, right? So this challenge of getting in front of these people and talk scared me. But I had to tell myself, it's either now or never. Either now or never. So if you're going to do it, this is the time that you're going to do it. So I did that challenge. I did that challenge of speaking 30 days in a row, getting on that camera and just talking and having conversation. Sometimes just not about jewelry, but mostly about jewelry. And that is what helped me start to be able to speak to people, because I hadn't always been that person that will speak in a crowd of people. It was more always that intimate of one-on-one type thing. So my jewelry business definitely helped me with that.
Well, I would think that you prayed a lot during those times. Is that correct?
Of course.
To ask God to help you in your various speaking engagements.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, definitely. I'll take it back a little bit before, it was still around that same time that I had just started. I went to a vision board party, and one of the girls gave us a key, and I think I mentioned this to you when I saw you the second time, gave us a key with a little tag on it, and I wrote on there that I will be able to speak to the masses, you know, in public, you know. And we really, and this is where God ties it in, right? So what we think we're doing, what we're asking for, is not his plan, right? So I didn't know. I thought I was going to be talking about jewelry and masses, right? Which I have, right? But his purpose was more for me to talk to the masses about domestic violence, you know, and I see that. I see it so clear of what, you know, he had planned.
And of course, speaking about domestic violence is a way of promoting the kingdom, which is one reason why he would want us to speak to the various issues that we may have and speak in a confident way. And of course, prayer is very important to that, as you mentioned. Well, so you are speaking now on behalf of your deceased son.
Yes.
I suppose, and trying to rectify that in some way and to limit the pain. And I'm sure you've had a lot of challenges and pain involved with that. So do you see an end in sight as far as what you're doing now to do that, to kind of do whatever you think you need to do as far as speaking in public and to get to some goal? Do you have a goal in mind?
Well, my goal in mind is to reach the masses. And to say an end, this is not no end. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning of it. This is this, like, how they say, the setup of the beginning.
Well, I guess pointing toward the legal aspect, but of course, as you indicated,
yes, okay.
you can't get into that.
Yes,
now,
so trial, yes, thank you for asking. So the trial is slated for July, toward the end of July. So yes, hopefully that part would be over so that I could go to the next step.
Okay.
Yes.
And after that, of course, as you indicated earlier, maybe come back.
Yes.
And give us even more information about that particular part of it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, listen, I'd like to thank Lene for being with us, and we look forward to having her back to talk about some of those more detailed aspects that she cannot get into at this point. So again, give our audience your contact information, and I know you gave it to them last time, but this time I'd like for them to have that information because they may not have been with us the last time.
Yes, so thank you again for having me, and my contact information is Lene Van Hook Walker. That is Linnee Van Hook, VanHook. That's all one word, lowercase h. I love to say that part. And then Walker. And the mailing address is P.O. Box 123, Garner, NC, 27529. Email address is danielsvoice2@icloud.com. And a phone number is 919-815-9335.
Well, thank you, Lene, for being with us. And I'd like to give my contact information for anyone who would like to contact me relating to this particular subject or any other subject that you might like to talk to me about. And my email is waporter4995@yahoo.com. So thank you very much. And in the future, again, as I indicated, we look forward to talking to Lene again. And for all of you, thank you for joining us. And as I always say, that whatever you may be going through, whether it's good or bad, just keep this in mind, that there's always more good things coming your way. And we'll see you the next time.
This is Food for Thought. William Porter, author, conducted the previous interview with Miss Lene Van Hook Walker, an entrepreneur from Garner, a small but growing community outside the city of Raleigh, North Carolina. The interview was given in two parts on Saturday, June 1st, 2024, shortly before noon at the Garner Chamber of Commerce. The end of part one and the beginning of part two were separated by about a 10-minute interval. At the conclusion of the interviews, upon inspection of the length of time for each part, Dr. Porter noticed that the length of time given for each part of the interview was identical down to the second. As indicated on the timer of his personal cell phone, the length of time for each part was 21 minutes and 11 seconds. Is the same length of time for both parts of the interview coincidental, or is there some divine work at play? Consider verses 11 and 21 in the book of Jude, which addresses the contrast between the consequences of disobedience and the promise given of upholding the faith. This is Food for Thought.